My dear brethren and sisters, we've been reading for the past few days Paul's first letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. In yesterday's reading, chapter 4 and verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness in this present life brings to the disciple of Christ a sense of spiritual peace, a feeling of oneness, unity with the Almighty, well-being and consolation, even in the midst of trials. Christ said in Matthew, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Dear brothers and sisters, do we feel contentment now as we look expectantly towards the greater promise of life? That rest in the kingdom of God, that day of rest, is God's manifesto. To have peace with God makes all possible worries harmless and out of place. We read in our reading from chapter 6 with our brother, and verse 6 says there, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, this can only come with complete, undivided dedication to our one goal in life. Dear brothers and sisters, peace in this life is not freedom from external strife. No, brothers and sisters, peace is from freedom. Is freedom from internal strife. Because our minds are full of love, or should be, because perfect love casteth out fear. "He that feareth is not made in perfect love," John says in his letter. Our elder brother, even in the anguish of his mind and the anticipation of that terrible sufferings that was shortly to come upon him, he was able to say, dear brothers and sisters, if you turn with me to John's Gospel message, and chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27. He said there, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I say I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Worldly riches brings us no guarantee. Brothers and sisters, the only thing worth having in our brief wanderings, in this vale of tears, the only gain at present is that peace of mind. And that peace of mind is that knowing that God is in control. God, in his wisdom, knows best and does all things well. The glorious secret of God's plan, to which we have been privileged and are initiated, the revealed mystery, has been given to you and to I. There's a verse, brethren and sisters, that is often misunderstood. And if you turn with me to the 1st of Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 9. It's often quoted. 1st of Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The answer, brothers and sisters, in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Yes, brothers and sisters, the answer has been revealed unto us through his word, because we believe. We know God is in control in the affairs of men. Until about 2.5 weeks ago, brethren and sisters, we as a country were bombarded by the politicians, giving us the manifesto to what they might do or what they might not do if they are allowed to be in number 10. The words come to mind, brethren and sisters, from Luke, men's hearts are failing for fear for those things that are coming upon the earth. The politicians and their manifestos. This is a great opportunity for us, dear brothers and sisters, to be able to convey the truth. When asked, are you going to vote? And our reply would be, no, because God is in control. And he will put in power whomsoever he will. Some may say, well, if that party gets into power, then we will be all right. And if they get into power, we won't be okay. Dear brethren and sisters, that should not concern us at all. Should not concern us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist gave words for us in Luke chapter 3 when he's talking to the soldiers. John the Baptist told a group of soldiers in chapter 3 and verse 14. Luke 3 and verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Be content, dear brothers and sisters. Interesting, in our chapter this morning from Timothy, he's referring to soldiers as well. He's speaking of soldiers in chapter 6 of our reading for 1 Timothy in verse 11. He says, be thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren and sisters, we are offered the wages of inner peace. That peace that passeth all understanding, and the eternal dwelling which will come through God's mercy and grace. Brothers and sisters, as soldiers clothed in God's armour, let us be content, because we are warring against the sin in our members. What else could we want as wages? No doubt, brothers and sisters, we should be satisfied with what God gives us. Because as we look back and consider the only compensation from our previous employer was eternal death, and by the work of our Master, we have the hope of eternal life. Because Paul says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Turn with me, please, to John's letter. First to John. Because John tells us there, he says, love not the world. First to John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life, dear brothers and sisters, was in our middle reading, in Isaiah. We have the example of the pride of life. Isaiah 14 is referring to the king of Babylon. Verse 4, and thou shalt take up a proverb against the king of Babylon. Verse 13. King of Babylon, for thou hast seen in thine heart, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. King Nebuchadnezzar said, I will be like the Most High. Nebuchadnezzar had to realize that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. If you turn with me, brothers and sisters, to the book of Daniel to learn more regarding this King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, and reading from verse 17. The latter part. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Verse 25. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And what does it say in verse 35? At the end, and none can stay his hand or say unto him the Almighty, what doest thou? Brethren and sisters, Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom was to be cut down. In the vision of the tree depicting his great kingdom. Verse 29. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? And for the honour of my majesty. The vision of the tree depicting his kingdom was to be cut down. Verse 14 and 15 of that chapter 4. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. God, the Almighty Creator, had given Nebuchadnezzar this kingdom. The same God was now going to take it away. The stump, as we've just read, had a band, iron and brass, in verse 15. We know, brethren and sisters, the brass representing the Grecian Empire, and the iron, the Roman Empire, as also in the image dream. They were to come after Nebuchadnezzar. The great lesson that the king had to learn, that there is a greater dictator, a greater monarch than flesh. The king had to be humbled before he could acknowledge that Yahweh rules in that way. All human rule represented by Nebuchadnezzar's image, or the empire, as a tree that sheltered all the beasts and birds, must submit to his teaching. Daniel 5 and verse 20. And when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. The pride of life. And as we know, the Almighty gives and the Almighty takes away. But brothers and sisters, we're not allowed to say What doest thou? And we know the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar had to learn from lycanthropy, acting as an animal. And this was brought upon him for 7 years. God rules in the kingdom of men. Hence, brothers and sisters, this is why we don't vote. When asked why we don't, our answer must be because God is in control. Second to Timothy, chapter 2, which we will read in 2 days' time. Second to Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Be not conformed to this world, for we know we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Our duty, brethren and sisters, is to patiently wait for the coming of our Master, to overthrow the existing governments, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, unspotted from the godless aims and schemes of our politicians. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It is sometimes difficult, we know, to understand. But Paul said, trials and tribulations will come upon us. Even our Lord, who did all things well, had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. Our chapter this morning, chapter 6 and verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession of faith. Our Lord came into this world, but he was not of this world, as we are in the world, but not part of it. He made his decision and refused to weaken to Satan's offers of worldly wealth and power. Christ preferred godliness with contentment, which is great gain. He made his faithful witness before Pilate, and then endured the humiliation and the agony on the cross for his friends. Christ referred to his death on the cross as baptism. And so a candidate for baptism must first make his confession and then undergo baptism, which in itself is a showing forth of Christ's death and rising to newness of life. Dear brothers and sisters, at verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, help us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world as godliness with contentment and unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will have the government upon his shoulders, the Prince of Peace, and ruling this earth in righteousness and peace. Dear brothers and sisters, let us now remember our absent Lord, the one who is born to be king, in the bread and the wine.